After the funeral, they came back to the house, now indisputably Mrs. Halloran's. They stood uneasily, without any certainty, in the large, lovely entrance hall, and watched Mrs. Halloran go into the right wing of the house to let Mr. Halloran know that Lionel's last rites had gone off without melodrama. Young Mrs. Halloran, looking after her mother-in-law, said without hope, "Maybe she will drop dead on the doorstep. Fancy, dear, would you like to see Granny drop dead on the doorstep?" "Yes, Mother." Fancy pulled at the long skirt of the black dress her grandmother had put on her. Young Mrs. Halloran felt that black was not suitable for a 10-year-old girl, and that the dress was too long in any case, and certainly too plain and coarse for a family of the Halloran prestige. She had had an asthma attack on the very morning of the funeral to prove her point, but Fancy had been put into the black dress nevertheless. The long black skirt had entertained her during the funeral and in the car, and if it had not been for her grandmother's presence, she might very well have enjoyed the day absolutely. "I am going to pray for it as long as I live," said young Mrs. Halloran, folding her hands together devoutly.
"Shall I push her?" Fancy asked, "like she pushed my daddy?"
"Fancy," said Miss Ogilvy. "Let her say it if she wants," young Mrs. Halloran said. "I want her to remember it anyway. Say it again, Fancy baby."
"Granny killed my daddy," said Fancy obediently. "She pushed him down the stairs and killed him. Granny did it, didn't she?"
Miss Ogilvy raised her eyes to heaven, but lowered her voice in respect for the sad occasion of the day. "Mary Jane," she said, "you are perverting that child's mind and very possibly ruining her chances of inheriting—"
"On this day," young Mrs. Halloran said, putting her mouse face into an expression of reproachful dignity, "I want it clearly understood by all of you, everyone here, and remembered always, if you don't mind. Fancy is a fatherless orphan today because that nasty old woman couldn't stand it if the house belonged to anyone else, and I was still a wife, a beloved helpmeet."
She breathed shallowly and pressed her hands to her chest.
"Pushed him down the stairs," she said sullenly.
"The king, thy murdered father's ghost," Essex said to Fancy. He yawned and moved on the velvet bench and stretched.
"Where are the funeral baked meats? The old woman can't be planning to starve us now she's got it all."
"This is unspeakable," said young Mrs. Halloran, "to think of food with Lionel barely cold. Fancy," and she held out her hand. Fancy moved unwillingly, her long black skirt swinging, and young Mrs. Halloran turned to the great stairway.
"My place now is with my fatherless orphaned child," she said over her shoulder. "They must send my dinner up with Fancy's. Anyway, I believe I am going to have more asthma."
"When shall we live, if not now?" was painted in black Gothic letters touched with gold over the arched window at the landing on the great stairway. Young Mrs. Halloran paused before the window and turned, Fancy toiling upward still, entangled in her skirt.
"My grief,"
young Mrs. Halloran said, one hand on her breast and the other barely touching the wide, polished handrail.
"My lasting grief."
"Hurry up, Fancy."
Together, young Mrs. Halloran leaning lightly upon the shoulder of her daughter, they moved out of sight down the hall into the vastness of the upper left wing, which, until so recently, they had shared with Lionel. Essex looked after them with distaste.
"I should think Lionel would have welcomed the thought of dying," he said.
"Don't be vulgar," said Miss Ogilvy. "Even with me, please remember that we are employees, not members of the family."
"I am here, however, if you please," Aunt Fanny said suddenly from the darkest corner of the hall. "You will, of course, have overlooked the fact that Aunt Fanny is here, but I beg of you, do not inhibit your conversation on my account. I am a member of the family, surely, but that need not—"
Essex yawned again. "I'm hungry," he said.
"I wonder if it will be a proper dinner. This is the first funeral since I've been here," Miss Ogilvy said, "and I'm not sure how she manages. I suppose we'll sit down, though."
"No one will waste a minute's thought if Aunt Fanny stays safely in her room,"
Aunt Fanny said. Tell my brother's wife, she said to Essex, that I will join her in grief after dinner.
My first funeral, too, Essex said. Lazily, he stood up and stretched again.
Makes you sleepy. You think the old lady's locked up the gin in honor of the day?
They'll have plenty in the kitchen, Miss Ogilvy said. But just a teensy one for me, thanks.